I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, I got another question for you. I started out the show yesterday this way, a question where I actually want your answer. Are you ready? What's the most recent thing God has spoken to your heart? What's the most recent thing God has said to you? Is it, trust me, or don't worry, or I've got this, or I want you to quit your job? What has He said to you recently? I would so love for you to text me and tell me. And you can remain anonymous if you prefer. Text me at 877-933-2484. My friend Sarah Bowling joins me today to talk about her thought-provoking book, Hey God, Can We Talk? Real Life God Encounters for Real Life Circumstances. And she writes, Jesus tells us that we must come to God as children, simple, honest, vulnerable, active, and enthusiastic. So let's begin this wonderful adventure and see what conversations we can explore and enjoy with God as we become transformed through dialogue. We'll get Sarah on in a moment. I do want you to know we've got several copies of her new book, Hey God, Can We Talk? It is such a unique, beautiful approach to having conversations with God. If you want in on the drawing in a separate text, just text the word book. No smiley faces, no quotations, just the word book to 877-933-2484. It'll kick back a link, and that's how you enter the drawing. Quick announcement first. We've got something going on in February that we're calling the Kindness Always Initiative. And you know where it came from? Our amazing great giveaway that we did in the winter. We do this every Christmas time. It kind of lands on my birthday, where we mobilize thousands of people to engage in random acts of kindness. And there was such an amazing response and people going, I just feel alive because I was shoved out of my comfort zone to be kind to someone I maybe normally would have missed. So we wanted to carry this through, and we're kind of doing it again. We're not waiting until next Christmas. So no matter where you live, no matter where you are, who you are, where you've been, somebody's life's going to be changed by your intentional act of kindness. So would you join us this month as we mobilize all of us to be dispensers of joy and goodness in the world? If you want to join us, but you're not really sure where to start, you can find a downloadable idea card on our website at myfaithradio.com. And Karen texted him, the last thing the Lord has said to her, most recent thing, is, I got this. I love that. I got this. How about you? What's the most recent thing God has spoken to your heart? Text me 877-933-2484. So let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Sarah Bowling is on mission to connect everyone with the heart of God while living in genuine love. Her unshakable conviction that unconditional love transforms everything permeates her every message and connects people to the heart of God. Her passion takes her many places around the world to bring lasting change to each of us with the transforming love of God. She also co-hosts a daily television program titled Today with Marilyn and Sarah. She's been my friend for a number of years. I love her so much. Sarah, welcome back to the show.
Yay, Susie. I'm totally stoked to be with you.
I'm so, even though we just saw each other a few days ago, I'm super excited about this. It made me remember how much I miss you.
Right back at you.
Oh, well, you know this. We love to start every day talking scripture, and I know you are a woman of the word. So what's God been speaking to you about these days?
I love this verse. It's Psalms 40, verse 1. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me, and He heard my prayer. And Holy Spirit's been talking to me, like, waiting patiently. And I think sometimes when I wait, you know, I get bored, I kind of get distracted. But I felt like Holy Spirit said, you know what, Sarah? Waiting means leaning into, staying attentive. I'm waiting for the Lord, and I'm waiting patiently. I'm not waiting, like, on my time schedule, right? Like, hey, you're late. You needed to show up 2 hours ago. It's patiently and leaning into, staying focused. And it's interesting, so you know, God in Exodus, it's just, I love this. This is astounding to me. So the burning bush, Moses and the, you know, doing the sheep herding thing, and Moses saw the burning bush. It was a bush that was on fire that was not consumed. But it says in chapter 3, it says, when he turned to look at the bush, God began to speak. And I love that because I think God is waiting for our attention, waiting for us to focus, pause, attend to, and dial in with God, waiting patiently and attentively with God. He inclined to me, and he heard my prayer. And so that's just been something, and I think that's an attitude of the heart, patience and waiting, and just paying attention. I'm paying attention no matter what I'm doing, if I'm taking a walk, if I'm driving here, if I'm whatever I'm doing, I'm attentive. And there's always this kind of default happening in my heart and my soul and my mind. I'm present. I'm attentive. Wherever you would flag my attention, Holy Spirit, I'm paying attention. I'm listening. I'm aware. I'm calibrate my soul to pay attention to you. So I don't know. That's what God's been talking to me about, and I like it. It's challenging.
I love it too. Yeah. You know, I waited for the Lord. It's an active waiting. It's not just twiddling your thumbs and biding your time. You're actively engaged. You're bending an ear. And as you're talking, it's just, you know, thinking he actively waits for us too. He waits to be, you know, compassionate. He waits for us to turn to him. And I guess, you know, listeners, tell me, what's the Lord been speaking to you? What's the most recent thing that he has said to you? Mel writes in, your past does not determine your future. And then this one says, pray for eyes to see my gifts. This morning at 2 a.m., the Lord spoke that to her. Pray for eyes to see the gifts I have for you. It's beautiful. Well, if you would, talk about the inspiration behind this book. Because when you and I, you know, I went out to your place a couple of days ago. We had lunch together. And you were saying this isn't really, you purposed that this wouldn't sound like a prayer book. It really is about conversation. So talk about just the inspiration behind it.
Because I was thinking about this a year and a half ago, and I was like, I did a sermon, and the first sermon I did was like a conversation with God. I was like, I wonder what that looks like. Where do we start with that? And I thought, well, you know, if you start the very first conversation with God and a human was Adam. And I was like, And I didn't look at the stuff that was like God telling humans do this, like a command or whatever. But I looked at it in terms of dialogue, back and forth. And when I looked at the dialogue between God and Adam, and the context of that, it was when Adam completely screwed up. I mean, he had the perfect life, and the only thing he shouldn't do, couldn't do, God told him, "Don't do that," is the one thing that he did. And you know, I think we all have royally screwed up. You know, and what does that conversation with God look like when we screw up? And what does God say? I mean, I get embarrassed when I mess up. I want to hide. I want to, you know, get, you know, withdraw, pull into myself. I feel ashamed. I'm scared. I'm, you know, embarrassed. But God initiates a conversation and says, "Where are you, Adam?" And I love that because it's not like, how could you be so stupid? What were you thinking? How can you be so ungrateful? You know, none of that shame and guilt and condemnation, accusation, none of that stuff. It's a relationship question. Where are you? And I love that Adam said, "I was afraid. I was hiding. I'm embarrassed." And none of that repelled God. In fact, again, God initiated knowing full well. And when I did that, I mean, it just, when I looked at that dialogue, that was kind of the beginning piece. And I thought, you know, I've done this whole Christian thing for a couple of decades, you know, well-worn. And when I looked at that in the light of a conversation, it was completely revolutionary to me. I mean, it was riveting because I was like, this is pertinent to every single human. Every person, every listener has messed up. And some of us are hugely messed up. And so what can that conversation with God look like? Because it's relevant. It's pertinent to every single person.
You're right. When we screw up with God, we should remember that God does not want us to hide from him. Instead, he wants to be present with us and to talk about what happened. Even when we mess up, God wants to reconcile us to himself. That's who he is. genuine love. And that is, you're so right. Based on what we believe about God when we screw up determines if we go hide and kind of do the silent treatment or run near going, oh, I need you every hour. We're going to pause here. When we come back, Sarah, a dear listener texted in and said, what if you feel like God hasn't spoken to you at all? I've prayed about so many things and I've received no word at all from God. We're going to talk about what happens when you're walking through kind of a dark night of the soul or times when it seems like God is silent. Sarah will speak to that next. Talking to Sarah Bowling, her book, Hey God, Can We Talk? Real Life God Encounters for Real Life Circumstances. We've got a handful of copies to give away. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. And in a separate text, I just want to know, what's the most recent thing God has spoken to you? And I sure appreciate this honest answer. We're going to talk about that next. Back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to my friend Sarah Bowling, who's got a new book out titled, Hey God, Can We Talk? Real Life Encounters for Real Life Circumstances. We're talking about just conversations with God in different scenarios. When I've messed up, when I've had a meltdown, when my future seems unclear, when I'm at a fork in the road and I don't know what to do. And my question for you, I absolutely love it when you engage with me. I told you texting in the show is kind of one of my love languages. I need to give Gary Chapman a call and ask him to add that to one of the love languages. What is the most recent thing the Lord has spoken to you? Text me, 877-933-2484. I love this. Terry says, the latest thing God has told me is that he's always with me and he'll never leave me. And this dear listener says, God recently spoke to my heart saying, cast my anxieties and worries to him. We often try to carry way too much day to day. Let's take it one day at a time. God is good. Hey, friend, you know what? God, word for word, said that exact same thing to me today. Exactly that same thing. How beautiful. And this one, the Lord spoke to me that faith and fear cannot exist, coexist. Faith and fear cannot coexist. Now let's talk about this dear friend who wrote in. She said, I want to remain anonymous, but what if you feel like God hasn't spoken to you at all? I have asked and prayed about so many things, and honestly, I feel I've received no word from God at all. I don't know if I'm just missing it or what's happening. I feel so alone. We're going to pray for you in a moment, but what do you say, Sarah?
Yeah, first of all, I have so much compassion in my heart because I've absolutely been in seasons like that. And I've found myself angry, frustrated, you know, questioning, like, what the heck's going on here? I understand, I get it. And you kind of feel like, hey, you said you'd never leave me or forsake me, but I'm not feeling it. I'm not seeing it. It's a struggle. But I think this. I think that it says this in Job. God does speak in one way and then in different ways, although man doesn't always perceive it. And I think this, Susie, I do think God talks with us. And I think sometimes we get accustomed to God speaking to us in certain ways, you know, certain methods, if you will. We get familiar, comfortable with it. And I think God sometimes says, hey, I want to broaden your awareness. I remember, I used to hear people say, oh, I sense God in nature. And I never said it out loud, but in my mind, I was like, that sounds so lame. And it was lame. I know that's really bad that I would admit that, but it's just being honest. But it was lame until I began to have that experience. And I was like, I remember in the COVID season, lockdown, I would go outside and take a walk every day. And I'm telling you, that sunshine on my face, I could hear the birds cheeping in the little trees, you know, the nice gentle breeze. I'm telling you, I was like, okay, that whole God and nature talking, I'm a believer. It changed my mind. And I had up to that point not really had that one-on-one experience. So I do think God talks with us in one way and another, although we don't always perceive it. So then my encouragement would be, raise our awareness, increase our perception. And even when we read the Bible, you know, help me, Holy Spirit, to sense you speaking to me. You know, accentuate one of the words or a verse or direct my reading. You know, I think there are ways to, sometimes we go through dry times and seasons, and sometimes it's what's happening in our lives. You know, you look at Job, man, I didn't see God talking to him in the middle of all that meltdown, but he certainly talked with him specifically and pretty directly at the end. Yeah. You look at Mary after Lazarus died. I mean, Jesus came and she fell at Jesus' feet weeping, and Jesus wept with her, but he never really talked directly with her. And so I think sometimes we go through experiences in our life that traumas and struggles and difficulties, and we just, I think it's important for us to show up, keep showing up, but also asking God, increase my perception and awareness. Help me not just to travel the well-worn path, but help me, if you want to teach me new ways that you're talking to me, interacting with me, teach me. I'm willing to learn, and mm-hmm. I'm willing to explore a wider array of the ways that God can communicate with us.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, there's times, let's say you're more of an activist, when you find God. You know, it's the kind of the sacred pathways that Gary Thomas writes about. Maybe that it through activism is where you really connect with God, but you're in a burnout season. You may connect with him through rest and solitude. But I want to address, you know, there are times when you have a dark night of the soul. And what I wrote back to this dear listener is, at least for me, I've had this happen several times over the last umpteen years, but those times where the heavens seem silent, and it really is a dark night of the soul. For me, what it was helpful is to remember what I know, trust who he is, and believe that this mm-hmm. season will pass. And it won't be just, oh, that was dumb or that was hard, but that I'll come through with greater clarity about who God is. And I have found that to be true every time, to the degree that I'm like, okay, I'm not sure why you seem silent, but I'm going to remember who you are. I'm going to remember who I am. I'm going to keep mm-hmm. walking, because this is somehow some kind of preparation where I'm not relying then on the senses all the time. I'm trusting what's true. And I'm telling you, Sarah, when I've come through that, I feel like the winds of change blow, and suddenly the word comes alive. So there are times where it's kind of a test of our hearts. I mean, he's not hiding, and he's not absent. He's just maybe silent, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And trusting in the character of God.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. This dear listener writes, and I struggle with self-doubt and self-condemnation, and God encouraged me with this yesterday as far as living with a kingdom mindset. You have been doing it imperfectly, yes. It will never be perfect, but you've been living for my kingdom. You've been making choices that honor me. You are not a failure. That makes me want to cry. That's from one of our guy listeners who has been just really pressing into the things of God. I just think that's amazing. I think someone maybe needed to hear that today. That's a great word, isn't it?
Love it. Completely love it. That's so mm-hmm. relevant to loads and loads of people.
I'm going to read one more, and then we're going to dig more into some of the content. I woke in the night a few weeks ago, as is often the case for 61-year-old me. I had the scripture, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, so strongly in my thoughts that I had to get up and actually find it in my Bible. God has been keeping that verse on the forefront of my mind in the days since. I so want his peace to rule in my life. Thank you for the broadcast. I listen daily online from Georgia. How fantastic is that? Wow. Praise God. Thank you for that. I love that. Well, one of the things you and I chatted about a few days ago was these conversation starters in your book. I found so intriguing. So each chapter is, you know, hey, God, can we talk? I'm at a fork in the road. Can we talk? I'm having a meltdown. And then you purpose to have these conversation starters to just get us going. So speak to that, if you would.
Yeah, because I just think sometimes we don't know how to start the conversation or join. Because God's already started the conversation, we join it. How do we talk? And so, oh, I loved writing these. I so loved them because each one is very unique. Many of them are grounded in like biblical content, but then some of them are also grounded in like rich church traditions that have tremendous help and practice. For us today, modern stuff. And then one of them is from this guy who was a missionary in Indonesia. And he did this amazing experiment related to time. And so I used that, what he describes in his book, I use that as a conversation starter, because some of us struggle with time and think time is the enemy. But this guy did something really different. So that's one of the conversations. Then another conversation starter, oh, one of my favorites is all the verbs for Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 8. Oh, and Susie, I also did like, hey, not everybody is like, you know, some people are super active and they want to do stuff in an activity. They want to have a conversation through an activity, like men. They bond through, you know, like riding a bike or running, jogging, doing a project together. Well, that's another way to have conversation. So I tried to make a wide array. I even did one on creativity because some of us are like super creative. We like to paint or we like to draw or we like to write. And so in that creative expression can also be conversation with God. So I looked at a whole wide spectrum of opportunities and ways to talk with God, to converse, dialogue, and this, I felt like it was super practical. And I've done all of them at various times and for various seasons in my life. Some of them I've done for a couple years, 3, 4, 5 years. Some of them I did for a couple months. But I've done all of them over the course of 30 years.
And then what I love about that is it helps you, you know, they always say, you know, keep your heart in it and keep it fresh because we get into these spiritual ruts by doing the same thing over and over again. So engaging with God and praying and maybe spending a little more time listening or reviewing your previous day and looking for opportunities where God revealed himself, where you had a moment where that was an encouraging word. And since every good gift comes from God, I'm acknowledging God in that moment in my life. Those kinds of pondering and reflection and just meditating on scripture does make it really fresh. It's just fresh ways, as you say, to meet with God and to hear from him in a way maybe you've not before.
That's completely true. And I think when we don't keep it fresh, when we keep it, it gets stale and kind of rote, mundane, then the level of intimacy can sometimes seemingly dwindle. And I don't mean like hop and change everything every 2 to 3 days. I think there's much to be said for consistency, but there's also being aware like, hey, wait a second, this doesn't have the vibrancy that it's had. Maybe I need to kind of make some tweaks.
Wow, that's so good. All right, we're going to pause here. When we come back, Linda texted in a really good point. I didn't want to get it before the breaks. I wanted to have time to talk about it. But she said that Job, you know, God said of Job that he spoke correctly. And Job's, you know, and that, you know, God said, you know, Job spoke rightly about me. And I was thinking what she said, and I'm like, you know, that's so true. And his friends spoke inaccurately about him. They accused Job. They acted as if they spoke for God. And God said, you spoke incorrectly about me. And I just think this is a hugely important point of the conversation because there's some that maybe presume that they're speaking for God, but they're actually doing more harm than good. And I love how God vindicated Job and, you know, knew that sin wasn't the reason Job was suffering. So that's kind of a big way to load up that question. But let's tackle Linda's thoughts and insights there on the other side. I'm talking to Sarah Bowling. Her book is, Hey God, Can We Talk? And I'm asking you, text in, what's the latest thing, the most recent thing God has spoken to you about? And maybe there's a way we can pray for you today as well. Text 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. That song. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to my friend Sarah Bowling. Her book is titled, Hey God, Can We Talk? Real Life Encounters for Real Life Circumstances. We're talking about conversations with God. Conversations when you're having a meltdown, when you've blown it, when you're at a fork in the road and you don't know which way to go. Conversations when you're feeling ashamed because of your own humanity, to come running into the presence of God and have a conversation. I got to give a shout out to Fellowship Christian School in Roswell, Georgia. I love this. She says, I teach in a private Christian school and have now shared your broadcast with several of my colleagues. Often we're discussing your broadcast. Thanks for what you do. And so thank you for what you're doing at Fellowship Christian School. All you teachers out there are honestly superheroes. And then this dear listener says, I have had a fear of infirmity and death. I ask God to help me stand on the promise that he is the healer. It's a tough time fearing this. However, I talk to him 24/7, casting out the lies of the enemy. And he's reminded me, as I've been studying Paul, to live as Christ, to die as gain. And Psalm 91 keeps coming to me. And she concluded this, because he set his love upon me, therefore I'll deliver him. I'll set him on high because he's known my name. He'll call on me and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver and honor him. With a long life, I'll satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's beautiful. Let's keep on keeping on, friends. So, Sarah, before the break, I talked about, we were talking about these different conversations. You referenced Job, and Linda texted in and said, you know, God did say that Job spoke rightly about him. And also that his friends were like condemning Job and his suffering as if they're speaking for God, but they were wrong. And so maybe speak to that piece, because there's a lot of presumption these days. People just sort of assuming that they know what they know. And it does sometimes more harm than good.
It's true. And, you know, interesting in Job, I don't think sometimes, when I did this, I looked at it and the first conversation in that book was between God and Satan. Hmm. And that's interesting when you look at that and see the dialogue between the two of them. You know, God says, hey, where have you been? I've been wandering all over the face of the earth. What have you been doing? Well, I've been checking out, you know, what's happening. And, well, have you noticed my servant Job? He's amazing. Yeah, but he's only amazing because you kind of protect him and, you know, you set him up to be fat and happy. But he's not really all that good. And it's interesting, the tone, because the tone of Satan always accuses and condemns and says, nope, not enough, inadequate, never measure up, you fall short. And that, in my opinion, that's the same tone as Job's friends.
Hmm.
They accuse him. Hey, none of this bad stuff would have happened to you unless you'd done something wrong. You screwed up. It's your fault. This is all a consequence of your bad behavior. No. You know, but it's that accusation. And it's the judgment and critical. And I think sometimes we do this under the guise of, like, godliness, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think I'd rather have God's tone. You know, look, I think this guy's great. And did he do everything right? Of course not. But I love him, and I'm on his page. I cheer for him. He's going to come through. He's going to make it. Yes, he's going to go through hard times, you know, kill the kids all died. He's stuck with a lousy wife. His health is down the toilet, you know, and all of his wealth disappears. And then he's surrounded by these hostile friends, quote. And in all of that, I think what Job said, and I like what Linda said, Job didn't accuse God of wrong. He was honest with God. I'm really upset, God. I'm really upset that this all played out. I don't like what's happening to me. And he didn't pretend like nothing was wrong or, you know, put all religious, you know, guys on it and try to just kind of, you know, make it look pretty and you know, whatever. Everything's fine. No, God bless. God bless. You know, he didn't do any of that. He was raw and honest. But he didn't accuse God of doing wrong.
And Job really didn't accuse. I mean, God didn't accuse Job either. I mean, God confronted, because it feels like to me in that story, we all kind of get to this place where we're pushed far enough, we'll start to defend ourselves. Like we've got this card in our back pocket. When enough suffering happens, didn't I do this? So how about this? Don't I serve you well?
Yep.
I mean, I think we all have those limits in us. But even so, for God to honor Job, to say, your friends haven't spoken correctly. I'm just paraphrasing because it's been a while since I've seen that passage, but pray for them. But he addressed Job. I just think that's pretty powerful. It seems when there's a long-term crisis, Christians have one of two options. They can draw near and serve and say, how can I help? Even if the person did get themselves into a mess. Isn't that what Jesus did, is how can I help?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
They step back and go, you know what your problem is? And I think, man, if we're having conversations with God in the way that you talk about, with knowing his love without condemnation, it'll affect how we have conversations with others, I would imagine, right?
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. And I find when I am having these compassionate conversations, I'm letting God talk with me. And, you know, the prodigal son, you know, I love that the father's behavior for both of his boys was the same. He wanted to reconcile not only the one who squandered all the wealth and did everything wrong. He also wanted to reconcile the one who was pouty, entitled and did it all right. He went out to both boys. He wanted to reconcile them, bring them home, and let's be family together. And I think if we are brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to appreciate that the Father's heart for us is always, always to reconcile and bring close. No matter what somebody's done right or wrong, it's always the heart of reconciliation.
To bring us close. Love this one. Hello, my name's Ruth, and I've just recently started listening to your program in Connecticut. I love it. I've been struggling with guilt over past failures and foolish mistakes. Even though I know Jesus has forgiven me, I often have trouble forgiving myself, which I know is wrong. It helps. It helps so much when my focus is on Jesus and all he's done and walking closer to him daily through more Bible reading and honest, intimate prayer. I love that. Honest, intimate prayer. That's what you're talking about. Don't run away from him. Run to him. I mean, Sarah, it seems the enemy just gets away with robbing us of so many moments that could be oozing with joy and purpose and potential, that we get stuck in that just condemnation and guilt and shame that Jesus paid for. Maybe you speak to that person who's still stuck. It sounds like she's working her way through trusting, keeping her eyes on Jesus. But lots of folks, you know, the quality of their life has gone down because the enemy's still getting away with it.
Well, and I think it's important for us to look at the people in Jesus' life that he redeemed and he reconciled and he brought back and completely restored. The woman at the well, John chapter 4. This lady had a train wreck of marriages. I mean, one after another. But yet that conversation with Jesus completely turned her upside down. And she went back and told all the men in her city and told them, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. I mean, that's one example. How about the woman who was caught in adultery and the religious leaders threw in front of Jesus? And Jesus is like, where are your accusers? I have none, Lord. Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin them. I mean, you just look at Jesus' posture and his temperament. He goes to have dinner at the Pharisee's house, Simon's house, and there's a sinner woman that comes and washes Jesus' feet with her tears and anoints him. And Simon, the Pharisee's like, if he was really a prophet, a man of God, he wouldn't let this sinner woman touch him. And yet Jesus calls him out on that and says, you know what? You haven't kissed me. You didn't kiss me when I came in. You didn't wash my feet. You didn't greet me. And this woman hasn't stopped doing that. He who's been forgiven much loves much. And you just look at Jesus' tone and his behaviors and the words that he uses, it's always is gentle, it's kind, it's restoring. And so I think we get to choose who we listen to. We can choose to listen to the accuser of the brethren, the one who condemns us, the one who says that we're losers and failures, and the deceiver. And that's what it says too. His native language is deception, right? That's Satan.
Yeah.
He's the adversary. So why would we have an ongoing conversation with somebody who hates our guts and wants to hurt us? That's the end game for Satan. Kill, steal, destroy. That's the end game. So why do we keep talking with Satan? I don't think that's helpful. I think a better conversation is to talk with God, right?
Right. You know, I had a friend who said she kind of put a cell phone up to her ear and she goes, girl, how much are you paying a month for that cell service? And when are you going to cut it off? Because he doesn't get direct access to your ear. And I love that. And Linda writes in, she says, so true about the tone of God's voice. Most recently, God spoke to me about purpose. He used a sermon on Faith Radio to redirect my eyes into his plans with respect to a relationship with one of my kids, telling me that the child's attitude toward me doesn't alter my purpose as her mother. The enemy had broken my confidence and resolve, telling me otherwise in a harsh, unyielding way. The voice of God was exactly as you described. I mean, that just gives me holy goosebumps. And this one says, lately, God's been telling me to work on witnessing to people and has really put that on my heart. If you could keep in prayers to a friend of mine who's having some marriage struggles with his wife, I'd appreciate it. Definitely, Lord Jesus, bring restoration and healing and wholeness to that one. This dear listener says, what God has been speaking to me is you have nothing to prove. This was said to me in the middle of the night after I'd agreed to do a Bible study when I was already busy. The Lord gave me peace to release myself from that. You got nothing to prove and all of eternity to live for. All right. So, Sarah, you know, you talk about in the book that we can sometimes get in a rut with regards to how we communicate with God. And a conversation rut can be when we kind of get stuck in request mode and we forget about the dialogue nature of conversation. I want you to let that in front if you've heard that today, because getting in a rut is to just be begging, pleading, and then leaving and not having a dialogue. So speak to that and unpack it a bit more.
Yeah, I think a lot of times we have sometimes a consumer mindset with God where we just like, hey, I need you to do this and this and this, and please, you know, fix this and do that for that person and a job. And those are all good. Paul tells us, make your prayer, bring Father your prayer and supplication, of course. But at the same time, I think we have to really be conscientious for conversation because, and Susie, I believe this with all my heart, God is inherently social. And I say that because God is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So because we are made in the image of God, we are made for social, for you know, like interaction, for conversation, dialogue. And who better than our Maker? And I think if we only treat God as a credit card, then we're going to miss intimacy, connection, and ultimately I think we're going to miss our destiny, purpose, and design. Because I find that the more I talk with God, more interaction, conversation, the more fully I am myself.
Boy, that's so true. Sarah, when we come back, we're going to look at one of your conversation starters called Examine, and just we're going to walk through it, gratitude, review, sorrow, forgiveness, grace. Why don't you guys, maybe if you're able, if you're driving, keep your hands on the wheel, your eyes straight forward. But if you're somewhere where you can write this down, unless you win a book, I want you just to maybe try this in your time with the Lord. We'll walk through these five steps. Talking to Sarah Bowling, her book is Hey God, Can We Talk? Real Life Encounters for Real Life Circumstances. Do you see why this isn't a typical prayer book? Just moving past, because sometimes we make prayer such a formality, and this is more of an invitation. Have some conversations with God, and you remember who you're talking to? The one who spoke, and the galaxies came to be. He put the stars in place. He counts them each by name, and he's well aware of every hair on your head. He's intimately involved in your story, and he's got things to say specifically to you. Are you not the most blessed person in the world? Wow, we're blessed. More with Sarah Bowling in a moment. Excuse me, I did a Facebook Live the other day, and I was recalling how in the Old Testament where the people had hardened their heart, and the reason that they'd missed God so terribly is because their hearts were hard. The reason their hearts were hard is because they stopped listening to God. Now, some just shrugged their shoulders, flippantly stopped listening, but others stopped listening because they're listening to something else, the wrong voice, the bad news, and that's just true. You can only listen to one thing at a time, so whatever you're listening to affects your heart. And we don't want to miss God's voice to the point that our heart actually starts to fossilize and get hardened or cynical or afraid because we're overexposing ourselves to certain things that are in direct conflict with the promises of God. I'm really glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson talking to my friend Sarah Bowling about conversations with God. That's what her book is about. Hey God, Can We Talk? Real life encounters for real life circumstances. There's still a few minutes left, 10 minutes left. I'd still love for you to text me if you haven't yet and tell me, what's the most recent thing God has spoken to you? Maybe it's an impression on your heart. Maybe it was a little conviction or correction or something bold, like this listener said, you have nothing to prove. I love it when he just impresses on our heart. So text me and tell me, 877-933-2484. So Sarah, in the end of each chapter, you've got these conversation starters, which is just a practical way to go, Lord, I'm going to approach you in a way of dialogue that's maybe different than I've done before, because I want to hear you in a fresh new way. And one of them is this examine practice. So maybe go through that, if you would, the 5 points and kind of how that looks.
Yeah, I love that one because it's timeless. And at the same time, I think in our modern world, it might feel a little bit archaic, but I think it's massively relevant. And so in these steps, and, you know, it depends on, like, if you look it up, and in my book, you know, I use those words that you said, gratitude, review, sorrow. But I think there's kind of some steps to it. And so it's the idea of looking back, and it's this daily interaction with God. And you kind of work through these 5 things. And honestly, I do this, I do it now, and I have been doing it, 5-7 years, more than that. But the first thing is gratitude, you know, looking back over my day and being thankful. And for me, I just dial in, kind of deep dive and get real specific, thank you for, and I'm very particular. And then I also look and I see, as I look over my preceding day or the amount of time, I look and see, where do I sense God? You know, where do I see God's fingerprints on my day or on that?
This is the review. So you've done gratitude, and the next point, and for those who are writing it down, is review. So you're looking back over your shoulder to review when you sense God, or even in hindsight, going, that was a God moment. So take it from there.
Yep. And so, you know, I'll sense God. Like yesterday, we took a walk, and it was the beautiful sunshine was on my face, and I was like, oh, man, you know, lift up your eyes for your redemption draws nigh. I'm like, yes. So I sense God. So that's the review. And then, Susie, and the third one, do I say sorrow?
Mm-hmm. Sorrow.
So, sorrow, huh?
Yep, sorrow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what that is where in the preceding day or whatever, where did I sense, ooh, that wasn't good, or that's kind of an ouch. Not just
that
what
broke
hurts
his heart.
Me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but where do I sense God being disappointed, or, oh, you know, that's unhappy. And taking account of those things. And not for the sense of condemnation, because that's the enemy. And this is what Holy Spirit does, helps convict, which means there's a way out. But condemnation says it's a dead end. And so when we ask Holy Spirit, convict me, show me, you know, and those sorrow points. And then the fourth one, I think, is forgiveness, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And with that, we say, Father, I'm really sorry for those things that got highlighted there. And that's important because those are places of repentance, which means to turn and change. And we can't do that without Holy Spirit helping us. And it's an adjustment, it's an attitude, it's a correction. And in this, the sensitivity to God increases. I sense God more, not just in the rear view mirror, but also I see this calibrating in real time, which I like. It dials me in. And what's the last one I listed?
It's grace.
I have different verbs.
All right, so let me review these just so friends can. Gratitude, so you're looking back over your shoulder and remembering things in your day yesterday, or even at the end of the day in your day. Wow, I was so grateful for that salad, for my fluffy pillow, whatever you can think of, and be specific.
Yep.
And then you review, this was a moment where God was near. Mm-hmm. And then sorrow, Lord, was there something I did that broke your heart? Mm-hmm. Now, I'll just be super honest. I'm always so transparent. I've been battling some sleep, so I felt miserable yesterday just from the accumulated effect. And I caught myself right before I went to bed with self-pity. And I'm like, I hate self-pity. I mean, it's a parasite, but it's like I sort of evolved into it. And I knew it broke his heart because it doesn't belong in me either. So there was sorrow over that. But as soon as I confessed it, I felt his peace and saying, you know, we're in agreement. You don't want that. It's not good for you. So sorrow. The next one is forgiveness, where you claim his forgiveness. And the final one, Sarah, is grace. Let's hear what you say.
Grace. Love it, love it, love it. Because grace is the hope that we're going to do different, that we look for the future, that God's got good things, and God's anticipating what's up and coming, and God's participating in that. And we can receive his grace every single, like, okay, I've gotten through the preceding day, preceding time, and now there's grace for this moment and moving forward into what God has for me in this day or the next whatever section of time that I look at. So I love this discipline. I love this. I hate to call it a routine, but man, it sure helps me.
Boy, it is great. Someone just texted in and asked for, she's driving, so I've texted those back to her. But that is so fantastic. It's, again, instead of getting in the request mode where all we're doing is shooting out the requests, we do a back and forth and a searching of our hearts. I just think that's so precious. And Judy just wrote in, she says, yesterday I heard the Lord tell me he was proud of me about something. I was surprised because I have this tendency to be so self-critical. Then I heard him say, I'm your father. I love fathering you and encouraging you. I love that. You know, one of our pastor friends, he's retired now, but he says, one of the ways that you can often know it's God is if he surprises you. And I love that because it's like, I wouldn't have thought that up, but it's so sweet, you know?
Yeah, I love that. I love, and it kind of catches you off guard. You're like, oh, that's exciting. I like it.
How precious. Well, you write this. If you're in the middle age season of life, please let God wrestle with you so that your identity doesn't get stuck in the past and sabotage your divine destiny. If you're in the twilight years of life, do not neglect to discuss with God what he has for you in this season so that you fulfill and maximize your impact on the upcoming generation. Our conversations with God at various forks in the road are massively significant. Wow, say more.
Oh, that's Jacob. He's my favorite. He is so my favorite because God speaks to him at these forks in the road that are very, very time. They're every single human goes through them. In our younger years, you know, like teen, middle age, or young adult years, we go through these forks. And when we're in our middle age, you know, we're like kind of not over the hill, but we're on top of it. And then when we're like kind of in the twilight, when we think, oh, you know, everything's just in the past. But Jacob, God spoke to Jacob at every single fork in the road, and there was conversation, dialogue. And, oh, Susie, every single conversation at these times was at nighttime with Jacob.
That's so good.
In the dark.
Wow.
I think that's so important.
Maybe some of you have settled in and settled beneath the best of what God has for you, and it's a time to start wrestling. I'm telling you what, friends, I've been wrestling in the deepest way. And God is showing up in the most profound way. You draw near to him, he draws near to you. You can have as much of God as you want. I don't know who said it first, but it's true. And Sarah, a number of people have texted and said, please repeat these one more time, this examine practice. So I'm just going to repeat them one more time before we have a couple more questions. So the first one is gratitude, where you look back either over your day or the previous day and name specific things for which you're grateful. That is so much for your soul. And then review, where did you notice God being present? And then sorrow, is there something that brought ache to God's heart? Maybe because you were in agreement with the enemy instead of with God. Then you go to that place of forgiveness, and then you lavish in the grace of God. You just wrap yourself up in it. I think it's so great. You know, one of your chapters, we just got a minute or so left here, is titled, Can We Talk? When the future seems bleak. And I'm wondering if you would speak to the person listening right now who feels like that. Lord, the future seems bleak. I'm not sure what to do. What say you?
I would say, you know, I think this is a burning bush opportunity that it might look like it's hopeless, not going to change. And yet at the same time, we have opportunities to talk with God and be honest. Hey, you know, it seems like nothing's changed. And God saying, yeah, but I'm present and I want to talk with you about it. Let's have some dialogue and wrestle it out and be honest, raw, be vulnerable, and then be present. Okay, God, I'm ready to attend to what you're saying, hear you, feel you, and aware of, hey, you might speak in different ways and talk and move and show up in my life in ways that I didn't anticipate. Like you just said, surprise. So I think it's keep your eyes on God and continue to wrestle and to be honest and be present in the conversation.
You know, I wish I would have thought to ask this question earlier because we're right up against our heart out here. But in the book, Sarah writes about, you know, when your future seems bleak, you write about this. The work that you do with starving children and children at risk in other parts of the world is so phenomenal to me. But it just made me feel like I got to say this before we wrap. When the future seems bleak and you wrestle with God like you did, Sarah, it's oftentimes a gateway to more ministry that God has, an opportunity where your heart is breaking over something that's breaking his heart. So if you're in that place, wrestle it out, because there might be a doorway for you to minister in ways that surprise you. Sarah, love you. Please come back. This was a fantastic conversation.
Thank you, Susie. Love you guts.
Appreciate you so much. Hey, God, can we talk? Is the book? We'll leave the drawing open for a little bit longer. All the texts, I can't tell you how much I appreciate hearing from you. I pray you found some encouragement here. If you want in on the drawing, text book to 877-933-2484. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.